Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Mike Lucas to the broadcast. Mike is the Global Chief Information Officer for Hogan Lovells, a top 10 global law firm that has 43 offices across the US, Europe, Asia, South America, and the Middle East. Mike joined the firm in 2001 and is currently responsible for technology strategy worldwide. Prior to his time at Hogan Lovells, Mike spent time in IT leadership positions at companies such as Windstar Communications, Morgan Lewis & Bockius, and CH2M Hill. Overall, he has over 17 years of IT leadership and senior management experience. Mike received a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Management from Oregon State University and a Master's degree in Information Systems from George Washington University. I recently caught up with Mike in his office in Washington, D.C., and our conversation focused on world-class IT Principle 1, people, as Mike spoke about initiatives to formulate balanced teams. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as Mike described the strategic role that IT should play in a business, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Mike Lucas, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Well, thanks for having me, Peter.
Mike, I thought we'd begin, for those of our listeners who are not familiar with Hogan Lovells, with just a description of the firm.
Sure, yeah. Both Hogan and Hartson and Lovells have been around quite a long time, and so Hogan Lovells is a product of the combination of the two firms, both of them having been around for well over 100 years. And today we represent a global footprint of about 44 offices on several continents in some 20-plus countries. So we're a worldwide, full-service global law firm.
Excellent. And pertinent to that, obviously, your role here is as Chief Information Officer. Can you talk a bit about what represents sort of innovation using technology and better use of information as it applies to this field?
The adoption of common trends, today, say around mobility, big data, cloud, collaboration, are really no different in the legal vertical. Specifically within legal, there is, for obvious reasons, an added emphasis in the areas of security, privacy, data protection, e-discovery. Our clients expect us to explain in certain terms how we are protecting their data. One thing worth mentioning in that vein is that we recently were granted ISO 27001 certification, which is, I think really going to help us answer the bell with our clients in that area. So we're really, really proud of that accomplishment. But one example of innovation, we were the first large law firm to deliver a mobile workflow application to enable conflicts clearance for new business intake. Back then it was for the BlackBerry, and now it's available on any mobile OS. So streamlining the business intake process is critical to taking on new matters and driving revenue within the firm, and we are diligently looking for ways to improve this critical process. So that's certainly a good example. We are very focused on collaboration as a differentiator for us, both internally and externally. Our recent deployment of MS Link is, I think, a great example of a rich collaboration tool that Microsoft offers that helps us connect with each other globally, as well as helps us break down geographic boundaries. So I think those are really good examples.
You're the first ever global CIO firm, Mike. And I wonder, as you point out, these are firms that have been around for 100 years. The union between them, of course, as you mentioned, was in 2010. But what was it about this time that the firm elected to have a global CIO in the first place?
I think both legacy firms recognize the need for a consistent customer experience, really, and it came down to something I think as discreet as that. Early on, inter-office travel by firm management, for example, highlighted some inconsistencies in both technology and service. The differing local approaches in the various offices, slowed down our lawyers at a very intense time. Many of our systems were the same. We had a lot more in common than different in the two technology stacks, but from time to time, these subtle differences would trip people up. technology is so incredibly integrated in the way lawyers work today. And so any misalignments quickly, I think, became visible and impactful. It was something that basic that helped us realize, I think, that servicing our lawyers in a seamless way meant defining a global strategy. And an outcome of that strategy was recognizing the need for one global head to streamline decision-making and unify the technology function on a global basis. So stepping back, I think the moral of the story here is that the pace of technology change requires not only unification, but agility, and that starts with a singular vision and a well-thought-out strategy.
And in those early days, nearly 2 years ago now, when you took this post, how did you get your mind and arms around the responsibilities? How did you go about the preparation for the challenge ahead?
You know, interestingly, I did a lot of reading. I listened to podcasts like yours, Peter, for example, and read a lot of stories of CIOs who are the best in the business leading their companies through change. I also listened closely to key stakeholders around me and what they were saying the firm needed from this role. It helped that I had been doing many of the facets of the job prior to the combination, as well as having, you know, decades of technology experience to rely on. Most importantly, it was clear that I had the unwavering support of the organization to be successful, something that I found very confidence-inspiring and really still do today.
Excellent. And how did you evaluate your team? Mike, you'd been with the firm, and so you were not an outside hire, so you knew all the principal players. But naturally, you had a new role, a new purview, new set of plans. And how did you evaluate the existing team's ability to execute against those? And what changes did you feel you needed to make in order to set yourself up for success?
Yeah, as you said, I knew most everyone on the team quite well, although less so outside of the U.S. The teams around the globe had already accomplished a significant amount of work together, at times really difficult work, and so I think as a result I was exposed to and understood the capabilities of key individuals that would ultimately shape my management team. Multiple visits to London and other non-U.S. offices were invaluable in my early assessment. You know, there really is no substitute for being physically present in situations where you really need to get to know people. And so the key to evaluation was to stay objective, you know, form my own opinion, and at the same time, take in others' viewpoints.
And were there changes that you ended up making that you can kind of walk us through?
Yeah, so part of my proposal when assuming the global CIO role was to present a new organization. In doing so, it was, to me, most important to strive for balance in team composition, you know, to recognize previous accomplishments of individuals, and to form a diverse team with a global scope and responsibility. Injecting a focus on service delivery, always putting our customer first, and establishing proper governance were also really key drivers in the formulation of our leadership team. You know, the next step was to permeate this approach down the organizational stack so that everyone understood and aligned with our global mission to deliver the very best service to our lawyers.
So we talked about the people changes, which naturally had to have been some of the earliest considerations for you, Mike. What about processes or technologies in that those early, say, first 100 days? How did you think about some of the changes that were necessary there?
From a process perspective, establishing proper balanced governance and full transparency over the function was critical. So it was all about governance and transparency. And I was fortunate enough to assume the role of chair of the Technology Advisory Group, which afforded me both exposure and credibility, two important success factors, I think, for any CIO. It was critical, I think, in the first 100 days to communicate as often as possible to the various stakeholder groups. I'm a big believer in cascading information so that everyone feels informed at all times of what's happening in the firm. So today, information and decisions from technology leadership meetings is validated within the core governance meetings that we have and then communicated via executive briefings and then played back to all in the technology function in the form of a global all-hands meeting. So there is a very much of a cascading approach. And as a final step, global technology updates are issued to everyone in the firm. So everyone in the firm has a chance to read at the same time what's happening within the technology function. I think developing a proper cadence and consistency in cascading information about our plans and accomplishments has really served us well thus far.
naturally, I would imagine, as you were going on your listening tour and meeting not only people outside of the firm who were offering you counsel, but very meaningfully people across the firm as to their needs and wants and thoughts about change and so on. Were there some quick wins that you addressed in the early days of your tenure as global CIO that you implemented first based on some of those interactions, for instance?
You know, it was evident really early on that there was this great need for collaboration and synergy among the legal side of the business as well as the business services teams. And so accelerating improvements in areas like remote working and mobility and AV technologies and video were top of mind for myself and my team. This is what we were hearing loud and clear from our lawyers as being most important, and I feel we succeeded at providing the tools necessary to help us all feel more connected within the firm and with our clients. You know, as an example, today, to a large extent, we provide wireless access in all of our buildings around the globe, which enhances our lawyers' ability to be truly mobile with the current generation of devices. You know, we have a wide range of devices that we offer and support from smartphones to tablets to traditional laptops. We also support high-definition video calls in the same manner, which again adds to the connectedness we all have come to appreciate so much. So I consider lighting up our buildings around the globe with easy access to wireless as one of a simple quick win.
And as you were formulating your plans, in the early days you were thinking about people, you talked about some of the process and technology changes that you undertook. You've now just talked about some of the quick wins you undertook as well. As your thinking took a greater structure and you began to put together your first strategic plan, how did you go about doing so, and if there's any insights from it you could share?
Well, first, it's important to note that both Hogan & Hartson and Lovells had technology strategic plan elements of their own when we combined. The newly formed plan was actually developed jointly with a few of us on the technology leadership team, with members of the governance committee providing oversight and guidance. So this planning exercise not only forged legacy and new strategic elements, but helped identify the best way to structure the function. Now, a key output of the plan was an executive overview, which was presented to firm leadership for their endorsement, which then set in motion the programming required to get the job done.
What were some of the ways in which you gauged success? Were there some key measures or key performance indicators that you kept on your own personal dashboard to mark whether or not you were making the kind of progress you'd hoped?
Well, first and foremost, I think success speaks for itself. The primary indicator for me is customer feedback, and really always has been. This requires what I call active social engagement, which is really all about listening to what is top of mind of our lawyers and asking questions about how they can work more efficiently. You know, the opportunity to provide feedback is evident at every turn in every communication piece we send out, on the technology internet page, on every call to our global service desks. So there's opportunity for feedback at every turn. The ever-increasing unity of the technology team is another meaningful marker to me. Challenges around agreement and engagement among peers that were difficult in the early days no longer exist. We have a single vision, operate as a single unit, and I think everyone is on board and happier as a result.
Well, Mike Lucas, thank you so much for joining us today on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing with us a bit of the practices that have made you successful, especially in the early days, now 2 years later, and bearing some fruit as a result of that. It really has been great talking to you.
Well, again, Peter, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat is a catalyst in communities of customers, contributors, and partners creating better technology the open source way. Connect to an ecosystem of innovation at redhat.com today to learn more. Listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.